This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Fay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's fall. Everything's happening. The trees are turning. We have hot summer days, and we have cold days. So, you know, I'm just trying to get used to it.
I just can't believe that we're, 2 weeks from today is Thanksgiving weekend. It's like Small Business Saturday. I just can't believe that we're here already. It's like once you get to Thanksgiving, it's like the anticipation of, you know, the holidays is almost half over. You know, you get to Halloween, it's like, ooh, the holidays are right around the corner. And now it's like we're like almost halfway through. It's so strange. What happened to this year?
I don't know. It's been a strange year. I mean, we're having earthquakes this week.
Oh.
I mean, what in the world's going on in Texas?
I know it.
I mean, an earthquake? Golly. I mean, I don't know what to think. It's just a crazy world.
We don't...
The weather is... I'll bet. I haven't talked to any of the meteorologists, but I would love to. And find out what's happening that's changed the weather pattern in Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, something's happened.
It's weird, you know, the weather above ground, and then, you know, it's not every day we talk about, like you say, earthquakes, you know, in El Paso. That's weird. The extreme temperatures, like the winter storms that have come through, and then the summer heat drought and the heat wave, and it's strange. It's not just a one-and-done thing. It was like, it's been like 2 years in a row now, so I don't know.
I don't know what to think. We've still got winter to look forward to, and we don't know what will happen. We don't know what it's all about.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeez. Before you know it, our warmest months will be like January and February, and then like August and September will be like freezing cold. We're headed in that direction. It's strange.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen. It's an amazing thing to me.
Yeah, it's turned.
I just don't know.
It's turned itself on its head. I'm sure the llamas probably are confused by all the weird weather. They're pretty smart. They know different. So I don't know.
That's right. And their winter coat hadn't come in yet, so they're not quite ready.
Really?
Yeah. You know, their winter coat gets really heavy, you know, and protects them.
When does that usually start coming in? Is it already usually done?
Well, usually in November, they're just about ready. And then December, they're just, you know, their coat's really big, really heavy. But it doesn't seem to me like it's ready yet.
Weird. That's kind of strange.
It is. It's a strange, strange world out there.
Yeah. I don't know what's happening. It's staying hotter longer and colder longer. I don't know. I'm not a weather guy. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby, but your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So what are some of the highlights from this week? What's the good news?
Well, you know, we've got two policies that matured that will be in people's banks on Monday morning. We had another maturity. I don't know a lot about it yet. I don't have all the details, but we have another maturity. I'll have to let you know later in the week on that one. But, you know, this will be the third maturity this month, so that's a good thing. It was a lady that matured. But anyway, things are looking up. We had a policy to fill yesterday. We got that filled real quick. We've got a lot of bids out. People are asking to get in policies. And I'm telling them we're bidding hard. We've got a lot of prospects. I just don't have a lot of policies right today. I'll say that, and Monday morning they'll pile in on us. You know?
Well, that would be good.
It's either it would be, but we've got several million out in bids. I think we've got about 10 million bid right now.
Jeez.
And it's just hard to get them. They're few, they're far between right now, and everybody's bidding the same policies. So it makes it really difficult. But the nice thing is the maturities have had a great profit. You know, that one, there was only one person in and she made 35%.
That's cool.
So that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's above average. You know, usually it's 24, 28. So anyway, that was a great deal. Came in on time, came in early. We had two that came in early. So that's a great thing. And so anyway, we're bidding everything we can. Things are looking good. I think by middle of next week, I'll have policies to put people in.
Wow. You know, it's like this weird bidding thing, this weird policy availability thing. It's almost like we're in the Matrix for like the last couple of months. Is there anything that's like driving this or any? Or is
I don't know. I've never had this happen. Where that you just, the policies were so few that everybody's bidding the same policies.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes a lot of policies when you've got as many clients as we do. And we just have not been able to, you know, to get these extra policies that we're bidding because everybody's bidding the same policy. We bid on a large policy, a $5 million one. We did not get it.
Really?
You would have thought we would have. But there's just too many big companies that really needed it. So somebody besides us bought it. I don't know who it was. We don't know if it was Coventry or someone else.
So when they're bidding these things, if they've got the, you know, resources to, and I don't want to say it, make foolish bids, but I'm guessing if they have all this cash to buy policies and they're outbidding people, I would imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, that their profit margins are not quite as significant. Is that a reasonable assumption or?
Well, usually everybody knows what they have to make to give back to their clients. I mean, everybody knows what the bottom line is, but they still had a profit, but I don't know how much they had at the end. You know, I don't know what their situation is, but I do know that it went high. For a $5 million policy, it went very high.
Wow. Because I know you've got like a threshold where you're like you look at it and you're like, okay, beyond this, you know, the we start cutting into profit, and so you're not going to bid on a policy to so you know crazy that you start sacrificing profit margins for people. You're protecting investors by not, you know, making crazy deals, and so I mean it's a good thing. I guess it's better to preserve the integrity of the investment than to just make deals just to make deals, you know, so.
Yeah, you can't make deals just to make deals. If the client doesn't make a good profit, they're not going to go in the policy.
Yeah.
So you've got to make money for the client. You know how much the client's got to have. If they can't make 1% a month at least, they're not going to be happy. But ours really make more than 1% a month. Usually, if it's like 18 months, we're going to bid it like, at 21 or 22 months, you know. So we've always got a little more than that 1% a month to pay people. The only time it gets right down to the wire, if it's a 12-month, and we do buy some 12 months. But those 12 months ones, everybody's bidding them hard. So you may not make but, you know, 12, 14% on 12 months. But on the others, we try to always get above the threshold where they'll make a little bit extra every time. So we work on that. And, of course, you know, we're only going to buy the things that we think will come in on time or early. You know, if it's one of these that looks iffy, we're not even going to bid it.
Yeah.
We turn them down. We turned some down this week. They had high premiums. We can't do high premiums. So even though the policy looked good, the premiums were bad, so we passed on it.
You know,
but we've got some bid that it's right in our ballpark. It's less than 2%. They really look good. It'll just depend how the bids come out.
Wow. Well, then that sounds kind of promising. That sounds like a great policy.
I think we've got several really good ones that we've bid. It's just going to be a matter of how it comes in.
You know, some people would take the situation and they would get desperate and panic and just, you know, just get any policy you can. But what would happen is that people would get upset when it matured. It's just like, you know, our profit isn't quite as big as it usually is. And so to stay level-headed and calm and stay the course during these types of weird things, it says a lot. So, you know, I mean, that's you're protecting the investor. So if you get good policies like that, that's great. Yeah, exactly. You have to. So, I mean, that's the whole game. So
And we have a lot of clients, you know, they've been with us a long time and they trust us. So we've got to do a good job. You can't just, you know, throw things around. You've got to think about it. You've got to make sure your bids are right, that everybody's going to make a profit.
Yeah. And it's just really an availability thing. It's not that there's anything wrong or anybody did anything. Or there's a situation. It just really comes down to availability. And with lower availability, it creates more competition. It's just a natural, you know, business ebbs and flows types of things. So.
And, you know, we had one that we bid this week. It was a pancreatic cancer. And you know how we love those.
Oh, yeah.
But everybody's going to bid that thing. So we don't know how high it'll come out or if we get the bid, but we're trying. We had several really good ones. One that I bid this week, it's in the head and the neck, and the man had three policies, but they said he's probably just going to sell one. I said, why are you bidding all three of them out? Maybe he wants to get the one that we bid the best. Maybe that's his deal. But and another thing happens lots of times after we bid one of these, they go back to the doctor. They find out it's less time than what they think, and they'll pull the bid. If you know, they go and they think they've got 28 months, and they go and the doctor says you don't have it 16. They may pull the bid. They may keep it after we've already, you know, tried to get it. So people are unpredictable a lot more now than they used to be. Now they change their mind to pull a bid. Let's say it's just not enough. We had a guy not long ago, it wasn't enough money, so he pulled his bid. But he doesn't realize that nobody will give him more than us. So if by him pulling the bid, he's not going to get anything.
Yeah.
You know, when he comes back into the market again, everybody will remember him, probably won't buy it.
Yeah, I know you've been in situations like that before where people will start playing games and then they'll come back around at some point and you're like, yeah, I remember you. No. We're gonna
That's
pass.
Right. We remember the name and we'll go look it up and see what we bid before and that they were the ones that turned it down. And we'll go, well, no, we're not as interested now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the first time if you don't do business with us, we really would rather just pass.
Yeah.
Because it costs us a lot of time. You know, if you waste time on a bid and then they pull the bid, you just spent that time for nothing.
Yeah. And so then you've got, was it the Chan policy where he was going to sell and then all of a sudden he went on like this European tour or which policy
was that? That's right. And it took us 6 months to finally buy one of his policies.
Yeah.
Because he ran off to Italy and all these other places that he wanted to visit before he left this world.
Wow.
Yeah. Mr. Chen, you're right. That was a hard one.
Yeah.
I mean, he just played games for 6 months and finally sold us one policy. He didn't sell us all of them. He had a bigger policy and he kept it.
Mm.
And we've had people that we bought a man's policy and his son was mad because he wasn't going to get any of it. And he said, heck, I left him the house. What more does he want?
Wow.
I mean, you know, we have a few people that are a little bit greedy.
Yeah.
And when greed sets in, you have to watch it, okay?
Yeah. Red flags start going up. It's like, warning, warning, warning. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
And several people this week have asked me about a trust because they have some children they just can't trust. They, you know, they're not reliable. And you wouldn't believe that of people's kids.
No.
That I've had a couple of people this week said, Faye, explain to me about a trust. And I told them, you know, a revocable trust, You can change it at any time. You can change beneficiaries. You can change your trustee. You know, until you die, you can change anything about a trust. So, they've decided that they need a trust to protect themselves from unscrupulous children. And I'm going, wow, okay. I mean,
wow, it's pretty bad when you have to get legal about it.
That's right. But they're afraid that their children are going to get in a fight.
Yep.
And cause problems. Well, if you've got a trust, it's all a lot easier, and it's hard to break the trust.
Yeah.
So the children are going to have to get nice to each other.
They're going to have to behave.
You know? Yeah, they're going to have to behave and not cause any trouble. And, you know, we read all the time where people's estates are tied up for years, because someone's mad, someone's not happy. But what I try to tell the client, remember, it's your money. You do whatever you want to with it. If you don't want them to have it till they're 50 years old, set it up that way. If you want it paid out, set it up that way. If you want one of them to just get monthly payments, that's when you do an annuity. Because annuity, you can set it up that way. You can set it up where they get it monthly, that their whatever money they're getting is only in the annuity. So there's a lot of things you can do about your estate. You know, everything that you've got with us, it has a beneficiary on it right now. So that's already got a beneficiary. You don't have to worry about it. Whatever you've got that's not with us, you need to make sure that you have a beneficiary on each thing. And if you think there's going to cause a problem, put it in a trust. With a good trustee that you can trust. And that's the way to handle that. So anyway, that's just a word of advice to people that have children they can't quite trust.
Unruly children can be a
problem. Unruly children, yes. And then we've got children that are perfect.
Yeah.
Now, you know that's not true.
Yeah.
But we've got some that are a lot more perfect than others.
Yeah, they're a little bit more mature. They can handle it.
Yes. And a lot of people are worrying about what's going to happen to their money when they're gone.
Mm. Yeah, that's a reasonable concern, you know.
It is a reasonable concern. And you need to have it in black and white. Don't wait until you're 80 to make those decisions. Because they'll come back and say, well, they probably weren't even of sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to do it while your mind is really clicking, and do it just like you want it. Pick your trustee carefully. Make sure that trustee is someone you have known a long time and that you can trust. And you should never pick your lawyer's trustee. You want someone that's completely unbiased.
Hmm.
And that's somebody that is going to do just what you said.
Kind of like almost like a checks and balance system?
It is. It's okay. Like a checks and balance. And you want to be sure it's in your favor.
Yeah.
You know? You don't want somebody to come in and say, well, I know they just weren't thinking. They meant me to have that.
Oh, we've all seen that.
Yeah. And just lay it out. Do it however you want it done. Put it in your safe and lock it up.
Yeah, be done and don't even worry about it. Should people, and I think I know the answer, this is an obvious question, but should people go back at some point, maybe like between now and maybe the end of the year, make it one of their goals to make sure that everything is set up properly the way they want it to, just in case?
They should, and they'll put it off.
Yeah.
A lot of people just keep putting it off, and then something happens. And it's all a mess. You don't want to leave your estate in a mess. Make sure your estate is set up right, just like you want it. If you're going with a will, it has to go through probate. If you don't want to go through all that, just put it in a trust. And do not do a non-revocable one unless everything is never going to change. Because you need it to be revocable where you can make changes. You need a good trustee. And don't do it when you're mad. Do it when you're very calm.
That's true. They always say, don't make important decisions when you're mad.
because you're going to regret it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you're mad, but you get over it. Remember that. a match is going to last for a little bit. Whatever you put in writing is going to last a lifetime.
Yeah.
So always think about that. And then another thing, a lot of people set it up in advance, some of the money for their family. And you can do that while you're still alive. You can set it up now if you want to. Or you could say, they don't get any of this till I'm gone. This is the way I want it handled. And it will be if you've got a good trustee handling it.
Yeah. Do you think people just dread having to go back and dig out paperwork? And it's just, it's daunting. And so they just kind of put it off and delay and procrastinate?
That's right. Yeah. And I've had several cases that when the people died, the widows come to me and said, Faye, I need this fixed. I said, what do you mean you need it fixed? Well, it's not exactly in my favor. I go, what? You know, you should have taken care of this a long time before I met you, you know? I mean, it's a second marriage, and you knew it was. And, you know, everything has to be spelled out.
No.
And it's not that second wife sometimes is left holding the bag. She ain't going to get anything because he never got around to changing it. It was all set up before they got married, and he got busy. He didn't change anything, and she was left holding the bag.
Yeah, they forget. They don't think of it. And, boy, that is a surprise. When that happens, ooh, that's not a good kind of surprise that you want.
That's right. I mean, it's really bad because the second wife just knew that he had handled it, and she didn't want to question him about it, didn't want to ask about it, and she should have.
Yep.
That's just smart thinking.
Yeah.
Make sure that everything is in both of your names. Make sure that it's not just his signature at the bank. Because if it is, you don't have a prayer. So you've got to have it fixed where you're the beneficiary. If you're not the beneficiary, you're out of luck.
Mm.
And just because you think it's done, if you don't see it in writing, it isn't done.
Boy, you know, I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure it's easy to get into that pattern because, you know, things happen. It's like, okay, I need to go ahead and do this. You ever had a change in situation? I need to go ahead and update my stuff. Oh, let me go and do that after lunch. And then after lunch, it becomes after supper. And then they get busy and then forget about it. And then before you know it, you know, 10, 15, 20 years goes by and it's long off their radar at that point. And by then it's too late unless they go back and do it. At the last minute or at some point. By then, usually people have so long ago forgotten about it, it's just not even, it becomes a surprise. So.
That's right. And if you've been married, you know, 3 or 4 years to the new wife, you should take care of her. You should make sure that things have been changed, that your will's been changed. You know, everything should be in joint names. You don't want her to not get anything. She couldn't even get the house if it's still in your name and your wife's name. You realize that?
Jeez.
I mean, you know, I had a case in Garland, Texas years ago. The guy has the new wife. His first wife is dead. Well, the way that works, it was in your older wife's name and your wife in your name. And the children can come in and get most of it. Because the children get her part.
Wow.
They get the dead wife's part. People don't know that.
Boy, that's kind of scary.
It is scary, but that's the way it works.
Hmm.
So she wasn't on anything because it was still in the name of the wife and him. It had never been changed. He should have settled with the children, gave them whatever part they deserved, and got that out of the way. Because otherwise, the children did get half of the house. She did not.
Wow.
So, you know, so her half would just be the half of his half. So that's just the way it was. So she did get done under because things had not been changed.
And then.
And it should have settled with the children.
Yeah. Wow. And then she's left, you know, trying to scramble just to get through, you know, day-to-day stuff.
That's right.
Wow.
And so it makes a difference how everything is set up. So people should have everything set up right. If it's not your first wife or your first husband, whatever you want them to have, you need to change it and fix it where that they can get something.
Hmm.
Wow. And if you've got life settlements, you're in good shape. Because if you're with us, we demand and require beneficiaries on everything we do. So you can't have an account with us without beneficiaries. So if it's an account with us, whoever you want it is going to get it because we've got beneficiaries on everything. If you have annuities with us, we require beneficiaries. So those are covered. So then anything that's outside of what we do, you have to cover it. So you need to make sure your house, your ranch, your farm, your business is handled correctly. You need a trustee. You need beneficiaries on everything you've got. If you've got accounts, more than one account at the bank, it doesn't matter. All those accounts have to have beneficiaries on them. You've got to do it. And if it's got an old beneficiary, you better get it changed.
Yeah. How did you say it? I'm going to make a mess of this, so please clean this up.
Okay.
Annuities are in a trust. They're not part of your estate.
Annuities are separate.
Okay.
Your annuities are separate. They're not going to be a part of the estate because they have their own separate beneficiary. Like whatever you've got, you can turn in your annuities and get cash right away. That's a going away deal. You just say, okay, here's a certified death certificate. Here's my beneficiary, and that's it, and they pay off. You don't have to wait for probate. You don't have to wait for anything if you've got an annuity. The annuity stands alone. That annuity will be paid out immediately as soon as you get the death certificate. So you don't have to wait. It's not going to go to probate and sit there for 6 months or a year. And if you've got a small estate, you may can settle it just real fast. But a lot of people have large estates, and so nobody's going to get anything for a certain length of time. They might not get anything for 6 months or a year if it's a large estate. But whatever's in that annuity, they can get right away. That's a cash deal. The beneficiary will be paid right now, so they'll have cash available. They're not going to have to wait, okay?
And there are some people, because I know we talk about investments and you know, how do I say this? People will set up investments to benefit themselves, which is cool. Nothing wrong with that at all. But
they
there
should.
Are, yeah, it's the whole goal. But then there are some times where people will actually specifically set up like an annuity specifically for somebody else, right?
We do that all the time.
Yeah.
We're doing some annuities right now to protect the owners after he's dead. In other words, he knows what he wants. He knows how he wants them to get the money, and we're doing that now. We're not waiting.
Okay.
So, and then if they've got life settlements, we've got that set up. That's protected. We know how that's going to work. Okay? So you've got to have beneficiaries. You've got to have this in writing, however you want your estate settled. And that's why it's a good thing to have a trust in most cases. If you don't have hardly anything, you don't need a trust. Just a will is going to take care of it. If you have a lot of assets, you may need a trust and a trustee to handle it.
I'm hoping I know what the answer is, and I think I kind of know. But do you ever run into the people that say, well, I won't be here, so I don't care how it's set up?
No, I've never had anybody say that.
Okay,
everybody's very responsible that I know. Everybody is talking about it now. I've had a lot of people lately that want to get their estate settled. They want it set up right, and they don't want to worry about who's going to get it or who's going to divide it up.
Right.
And that's why a trustee is important. It's got to be somebody, a close friend, somebody you can trust. It can be a relative. But it just needs to be somebody that's really level-headed, that's going to do it exactly like you want it.
Yeah.
There's responsibilities on this. If you're the trustee, you've got responsibilities to get it done.
Yeah.
And a lot of people... I have people that passed away. They had annuities. They had life settlements with us, and they wanted it all to go like to hospitals, heart hospitals, and to cancer research.
Oh, wow.
And that's another way. If you have no children, we never talk about that. We think everybody's got children. Sometimes there's no children. And so you want it to go like I call it to charities. Like to a heart hospital, the cancer research, if you wanted to go to research, whatever you want. You don't have to have a trustee or anything else if all you have is annuities, because that will go to whoever you've put on it. If you say, you know, I want it to go, let's say, to St. Jude's, they'll send the check there. Let's say it's to Southwestern Medical for research there. It's one of the biggest research hospitals anywhere around. It can go to the research there. So just wherever you want it to go, if you have no children, you're going to want it to go somewhere like that.
Do you have people that, I would imagine probably you get a little bit of everything, but do you have people that actually that have children and they decide to do, you know, some kind of a charity thing anyway and kind of cut the kids
out?
Not
usually. No, okay. Not usually. Unless the children and them have nothing in common. You know, but most people right now are in the stages of making money for their estate. That's why they have the life settlements with us. We know that life settlements make good money. They're safer than most investments. You know, we're reading all about all these bad investments that people have made lately in real estate, you know, especially if it's in San Francisco, some of these other places.
Yeah.
They're not doing well. But if you've got a life settlement, remember, it's a life insurance policy. You're investing in a life insurance policy, and that life insurance company's got more money than anybody in the world, as you know, and they don't make loans. That's why they're profitable. Banks make loans. I was just reading how many, there's millions and millions right now that the banks are exposed to in bad loans. How did they end up with all these bad loans? They've got loan officers supposed to be researching that, supposed to be, you know, making them put up all this collateral. But it says that there, I forget how many millions and millions and millions that's fixing to be lost by some of the banks because they made bad loans. So we're investing only in life insurance policies that are safe. You know, when we do a life insurance policy, we make sure it's an A-rated company. We make sure that what their bottom line is. All these companies are huge. They're worth billions and billions. And they always pay off. They pay off 100%. They're not going to say, we're just going to give you part of your money. So when you make a life insurance investment, it's a good, safe investment. I think it's one of the safest things you can do. It's because it doesn't have the risk that other investments have, and people want low risk right now. You know, I don't know of anybody that wants a huge risk in their investments. If they do, they're in the stock market, you know, and they don't care. They can afford the loss. But I have a lot of people that switched out of the stock market lately because of their losses. And so that tells me something. So if you can make 1% a month, your investment is a good, sound investment. And remember, we don't handle your money. It's all handled through Nevada Trust. They're the trustee. They make sure your premiums are paid. When you have an investment that comes due, they get the certified check, comes to the bank, and the bank puts it in your account. I mean, that's the safest way I know to do business.
Yeah.
We've always done that. But most companies do not. That Friedman guy that was just convicted of all those billions and billions he took out.
Yeah.
That was investor money, folks. You know, he took, what, $50 billion and spent it.
And they're not going to get it back.
He spent it on houses in the Bahamas.
Oh.
He spent it on all these, what do you call it? When you give all these politicians the money running for all these different things. He gave millions and millions and millions of money that wasn't his to politicians.
Jeez. Oh, you know? Lord.
So a lot of these investments that you make with these people, it's a roll of the dice because they've got control of the money. If they're honest, it's a good thing. But once in a while, they're not. And then they just take the money and play with it. And then there you are. You're hung out to dry.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you going to get back? I don't know.
No leg to fall back on. You know, and the thing with life settlements also, you were talking about how, you know, the banks make loans, life insurance companies don't. They literally have reserves on hand because when people who have policies, you know, they're paying in their policy, the money stays there. It's like literally, it's not going back out. It's like in a wheelbarrow in the back room someplace. And so they literally have the resources that if policies all came due in one day, they could pay them all out. They wouldn't have to say, well, you know, it's in, you know, this investment over here, or we lent it out over here, so we got to go get it. It's literally right there. And so they've got reserves that banks don't have.
That's right. And what I love about them is, you know, people paying these premiums, huge premiums all their life. And then they say, oh, I don't need it any longer. And they let it drop. Mm. And that's your profit right there from day one. You've got a percentage. And they have people that figure this all day long. How many people are going to let the policies go? How much profit are we going to have off of all those? So they have a tremendous profit because there's a lot of people just, oh, I don't need that policy any longer. I'll just let it go. And they do. They just don't pay the premiums and let it lapse. And so that's a lot of profit right there. So they've got premiums, $1 trillion in premiums every year. So all this money's coming in, and they're not paying out a lot. It's an amazing deal. So that's where your profit is.
Is it like 20% of all people who have policies eventually let them lapse or don't pay them?
It's a little more than 20%.
Oh, wow.
That let them lapse. Yes, it's a little more.
Good.
So they know that that is all just pure profit. People let them go all the time. They'll take out one. They let it go. It just happens every day. People just, you know, decide not to pay it. And sometimes it's big premiums. Sometimes it's little premiums. I have a client right now that wants to sell his policy. There's nothing wrong with him. He's perfectly healthy. But the premiums are getting way on up there. And he's so wealthy, he doesn't need the life insurance policy. Mm. So, you know, he's going to sell it. And you're not going to get 100% when you sell a policy that you don't need. You're going to get a percent. And hopefully it's the right amount.
Yeah. And when people do decide to sell, because I guess you've got two options, either just stop paying it or cancel it or whatever, and then you're just out, or sell it and at least get some of your money recouped. Is that?
That's right.
Okay.
Yes. And without it, you wouldn't get anything if you didn't sell it. So, and we buy policies every day. The policies that we buy are the ones that are terminal. We want somebody that's got terminal cancer. It needs money paying the bills. They can't wait for the policy to pay off. They've got 2 years to live, and they need cash now. So if you need cash now, you have cancer, you need help, you call us. We'll see if we can buy it. We have to look and see how bad the cancer is, what kind of cancer. But we buy policies every day. That's what we do. We buy policies here in Texas. We are licensed to do that. A lot of people aren't. We have a provider's license for the state of Texas. We don't have to go through a provider in our state. We can buy them direct. And then out of state, we have to go through a provider, and we do every day. Our providers are getting us policies. We're buying policies. We're helping people every day that have cancer, no matter what kind. We're looking at cancer policies every day. We study those every day.
Mm. So. When people sell a policy to you direct, it cuts out the middleman.
Yes, it does.
All right. And everybody wins when that happens.
It sure does.
All right.
Because if we cut out the middleman, that is more money in your pocket, not in ours, but in yours.
Yeah.
Because we can give you more.
Yeah, because you don't have to pay the broker.
That's right.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we take a break. We pause for trivia. So what is our topic today?
Veterans Day.
Yay. Happy Veterans Day.
That's right. And as we started out years and years ago in the 1900s, World War One. What was it called? Do you remember?
Oh, Lord. I know you said it before, and I can't remember. I don't know.
It's Armistice Day. As Armistice Day. But it started out on November 11th, even when it was called Armistice Day. And that was in, it was called Armistice Day, Remembrance Day. It was during World War One. Remember, it was the 11th hour, the 11th day, the 11th month of 1918.
Jeez. I still remember. I can still hear that speech. Not that I was there for it, but I've heard clips from it.
And it was our message with Germany. And it was our war organization, veterans organization, that got it done. And if you remember, November 11th, 1919, President Woodrow Wilson was president. And that was the first Armistice Day when he gave a message to us Americans. And then later, Congress, on June 4th, 1926, they requested that President Calvin Coolidge issue just an annual proclamation on it to observe it on November the 11th. And they said, let's have appropriate ceremonies. Well, then in 1945, World War II veteran Raymond Weeks, he was from Birmingham, Alabama, and he said, let's expand our Armistice Day to celebrate all veterans, not just those who died in World War One. And he led a delegation to General Dwight Eisenhower. And, of course, Eisenhower supported the idea of a National Veterans Day. So Weeks led the first national celebration in 47 in Alabama, and he led annually till he died in 1985. Oh. And then Ronald Reagan honored Weeks at the White House with a citizenship medal in 1982 because he's really the father of Veterans Day. And then Ed Reese, who was from Emporia, Kansas, presented a bill establishing a holiday to Dwight Eisenhower. He was also, they say, from Kansas, but that's not true. Dwight Eisenhower was born in Texas. So the bill went into effect May 26, 1954. And it was replaced Veterans Day. That's when we started celebrating the actual Veterans Day. And, of course, you know, it celebrates all veterans from all services, from the beginning till up to date. And everybody should appreciate our veterans. They need to be taking care of our veterans. They're not been taken care of well, as you know. Mm-hmm. But a hero is someone who understands the responsibility that comes with freedom.
Mm.
A hero is someone who's given his life to something bigger than oneself.
Wow.
Without heroes, we're all plain people and don't know how far we can go. The true soldier fights not because he hates what's in front of him, but because he loves what's behind him.
Wow.
The legacy of heroes is a memory of a great name and the inheritance of a great example.
Hmm.
And a hero is someone who understands the responsibility that comes with his freedom. Fallen heroes represent the character of a nation who has a long history of patriotism and honor. It takes a hero to be one of those men who goes into battle. My heroes are those who risk their lives every day, protect our world, and make it a better place. True heroism is remarkably sober, very undramatic. It's not the urge to surpass all others at whatever cost, but the urge to serve others at whatever cost. And they said, I only regret that I have one life to lose for my country.
Wow. Those are powerful.
They are. And never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few.
Hmm. Wow.
And another thing is we sleep peaceably in our beds at night only because rough men stand ready to do violence on our behalf.
And that is true.
Hmm. And America without her soldiers would be like God without his angels.
Wow.
And we come not to mourn our dead soldiers, but to praise them. We don't know them all, but we owe them all. And on this Veterans Day, let us remember the service of our veterans. Let us renew our national promise to fulfill our sacred obligations to our free. I think that about sums it up.
It does. I mean, those are all very, very powerful. And it kind of really kind of puts it back into perspective, and it makes you think. There is a difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day. Veterans Day is really a celebration of, you know, in an honoring of people who have served, you know, our country through, like you say, through all of the wars. And I think it also extends realistically to their families as well, because, you know, it's very, very difficult when you have somebody serving overseas. The families that are back here are going through just as much as well, and should have just as much praise for their, you know, support, for, you know, keeping things going, you know, here, back home. And so the families are part of the celebration and the honoring as well. So,
and you know, I always say they all go to war.
Yeah,
the family goes to war too, because they're involved. Their loved ones are gone. They're making that sacrifice for us, and the men who, and women who sacrifice for us, we don't do enough to praise them, to say how great they are and what they've done for us, because without them, we wouldn't have a free country. I mean, they give up everything to make us free, and we should appreciate them more. Our veterans need our help. A lot of them are homeless. Our country's not done a good job, in my opinion. There's so much more we should be doing for our veterans every day, because they need our help, and it's up to us to help them, and we should be helping them a lot more.
Yeah. Well, those that have served overseas, many of them have seen things that we will never see or couldn't even imagine seeing.
We cannot imagine the atrocities that they have seen and went through. And, you know, so many of them have went back time and time again to help us. Even though they know how bad and the horrors of it all, they do it to keep us free over here. And without them, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be a free country. So we owe them so much of gratitude that we could never repay.
Yeah. And I know those are, it's like we say those things, and sometimes it falls kind of a little bit flat, because it doesn't really do justice for what they've been through. But there's a simple thank you, just really kind of recognizing what people have been through, is, you know, it goes a long way. So it's important.
And when they see a veteran, give him a handshake. When you see a veteran, buy him a cup of coffee, you know, do something, and it'll put a smile on their face. I guarantee it doesn't have to be big, just a little remembrance. It goes a long way with veterans, I can tell you that.
Yeah, that's true. Because we, you know, like we said, we can't even imagine what they've been through. So without them, we wouldn't have a free country. You know,
we wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't even be what we are. And America is the greatest country, has the greatest military in the world. Our military is above all nations, and it's because of the men and women.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know the observance was yesterday, and some people had the day off, but the actual Veterans Day is today, and it includes all wars. You know, people who are serving now, people who have served, you know, in the past, people who are not with us anymore. So it is a celebration and honoring of everybody.
That's right.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. Our website is financialmidland.com.
I do want to ask real quick about annuities. I know we focused quite a bit on life settlements, but I want to ask about annuities. I know kind of like we're going through this thing where there's, you know, availability things with life settlements. There's, you know, competition, there's bidding. Does any of that dynamic exist with annuities, or if anytime anybody comes in, they can get whatever they want to at any time?
Well, most of the time. Now, as you know, right now, we've got all these bonuses. You know, we've got the 12% bonus. We've got the 17% bonus. And we don't have those all the time. You know, I mean, last year we didn't have bonuses. And then all of a sudden, you know, here this summer, we got that smaller bonus. Now we've got the 12, we've got the 17. A lot of people are taking advantage of it because they're smarter than I am. I thought I was pretty smart, so they told me how they were doing it. And so then I thought, that's a good idea. You know, they have to take money out of their IRA. It's just going to go straight from the IRA into their annuity, straight from the IRA right into the annuity. So annuities, you know, are really popular right now because they do have bonuses. You've got the strong, strong life companies that we represent that's doing them. Another company that I represent is giving like a 6% fixed. So there's all kinds of specialties that the life insurance companies are doing. So annuities right now are really, really popular because a lot of people are retiring. The people that are retiring want annuities where they can take lifetime income, where they can take income every year, all kinds of things they can do that you can't do with other investments. And, of course, I talk about it all the time. It's got its own beneficiaries. It's separate from everything else you're going to do. You've got beneficiaries, and it doesn't have to be a part of the estate and wait for everything to be settled on the estate. It'll pay out right away. So that's another thing. A lot of people, if they have a large estate and they think they might need some cash right away, they're doing annuities to get them the cash. And then they're setting it up for their grandkids, their children, all kinds of things. And a lot of men are setting up annuities for their wives. So it's you know, annuity can serve many, many things.
They can also set them up for, like, college funds, things like that, too, right? You got people that do those.
Yes. And then if they're afraid that their children, you know, are going to come up short, in a few years, they don't have a good enough job. They're worried about them. They're putting annuities aside for them.
Kind of like a backup plan.
It's a backup where they will have money. They're doing it for their grandchildren. You know, where the grandchildren in 10 years, 15 years will have some money, all of their own. They want to leave them something. So they're setting that aside. It'll be a separate investment for them.
You had started mentioning bonuses several months ago, and to be honest, I wasn't sure if they were still going to be available now, but they are. Is there any way to know how long bonuses will go for? Because I know people procrastinate, like we were talking about before, and so if people are putting these off and say, oh, I'll get to it next week, but is there maybe a time limit for how long bonuses?
You know, I did not ask them, but I will ask them this week, you know, how long the bonuses are good for.
All right, because that's really been
it may just be to the end of the year. Might even not be that long. I don't know, but I've been very proud that they have them because a lot of people have taken advantage of them. Because you know, 12%, 17%, and remember, it's every time you put money in, you're going to get that 12 or that 17 that you signed up for. So if you put money in your annuity every year, you already know that you're going to get the bonus. Besides whatever it makes. So that's a good, safe deal. So, you know, both of our investments, whether it's a life settlement or an annuity, I think is the most conservative way to go. You don't have the risk. You don't have all the things that can happen to you. And your heart's not going to stop every time the market drops, you know, right out of the sky.
Yeah. And that's
you don't
lot.
Have to worry about that. You don't have the risk factor. It's a lot safer investment. So, you know, I would say it's the best way to go. You've got the best of all worlds if you've got a life settlement or you've got an annuity.
Or both.
Or both. I have a lot of people that have both. I sure do. A lot.
Is it an accurate way to describe it that either way, life settlements or annuities, they have a safety net and you protect your principal? Is that accurate?
Yeah, your principal's always protected, either one. That's you've got the safety factor on it. Your money, your principal's always safe, either investment. Annuity, the principal's always safe. A life settlement, the principal's always safe because it's in a life insurance and both policies. That's why it's safe. Both of them are invested in life insurance. if you invested with a life insurance policy, it's not going to go down. It never goes down. The only thing that could happen is your interest might not be a lot one year. You could have a bad year on interest, but that's it. And we have an average of over 10%, an average, on annuities. So there's lots of times it makes a lot more. Sometimes it's made less, but it's average 10. So that's not bad, folks.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. Let's talk about risks. Let's start with life settlement. What are the two biggest risks?
The two biggest risks is, first of all, it could go over. If it goes over, you have to pay premium. But you're going to know up front how much the premium is. So if it's 1%, 0.5%, 2%, you're going to know it. That's your biggest risk if it goes over. The other risk is it's not liquid till it matures. Always remember that. When it matures, you get paid every time. And it's put into your account automatically. You don't have to go out here and look for it. It just comes and it's put in your account, okay? So that's your two risks right there.
What about annuities? Any risks involved with those?
There's really not a risk. I would say the only risk is your interest. You know, we don't know for sure how much it's going to be each year. But they've been in business 100 years, so they've always paid good. We've went back, and they'll send out a deal that shows you what each policy is made. So we know, you know, that we're right on what it's made and what it's making every year.
For those who are thinking about getting into either life settlements or annuities, there are some, I guess, qualifications would be the way to say it. To do a life settlement, you have to be accredited.
Yes.
So what does that
mean? You must be accredited. So what that means is you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home.
Okay. Anything with an annuity? I know they're a little bit looser, I think.
Yes, it is. You must have emergency money. They're going to look at what your expenses are compared to what you make. You can't owe as much as you make every month. So you've got to be, you know, have either savings account, stocks account. You've got to have something. They want to be sure that if you had an emergency, that it doesn't come out of your annuity. So we check all that going in. We always know what people have. Most people say, okay, I've got $250,000 here, I've got $100,000 there, or I've got $100,000 here, you know. So we check all that, make sure that there won't be a problem with their annuity.
Okay. And then finally, I know we're kind of like into the middle of the fourth quarter, and so we're kind of coming up on the end of the year. If people are looking to make a change before the new year happens, maybe this is the event or the catalyst that gets people, you know, rethinking. Let's get out of the stock market. Let's do something a little more conservative. You know, things are not probably going to get a whole lot better anytime soon. Let's make some changes. How long would it take somebody, a new investor, to get into, and I know life settlements are kind of dependent on policy availability, but annuities, maybe not. So how long would it take to get somebody set up and invested in something?
Well, in an annuity, if we're transferring money, it's going to take about 12 days. If you're writing a check, we'll have you in annuity in about a week. But let's just say 2 weeks on anything we're doing. And I think we will have policies this next week for people to invest in. So I would say, you know, 2 weeks for either investment right now. I think that'd be about right.
Okay. And you've got availability to talk to some new people this coming week if they're interested?
We have availability. It's going to be business as usual.
Nice. All right. People do need to call and make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.